We are focusing on love today, and so hear this scripture from John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, and then verse 16. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. So, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. A few weeks ago, several of our members, about 101 to be exact, attended a special showing of the movie called The Star. It's an animated version of the nativity story from the viewpoint of the animals, and we happen to have a little clip here for you.
Oh, Mary. Are you sure you don't want to sit in the cart?
No, it's hard enough for you as it is. Just let me fix my boot.
I don't believe it.
Really, I'm fine.
No, not that, that.
Huh? Bo?
Mary, you're in danger. You need to listen to what I'm about to say extremely carefully.
You ever feel like he's trying to talk to us?
Why is he here? Where did he come from?
Oh, she's not getting it. Okay, new plan. Can you two act like dogs?
What do you think?
Yes. I do a great dog. Dogs are my fourth best animal.
Great, just follow my lead.
So you need to see this movie. It is awfully cute, and it's fun for the entire family. This particular one is called Follow My Lead. And that, in essence, is what we are talking about today, is following God's lead, especially when it comes to love. So more than 2,000 years ago, a star appeared in the east, and it became a beacon that pointed to Jesus. And we talked about last week how the star literally guided people to where Jesus was born. And it's a profound image, the star, for our own journeys of Advent as we journey last week through hope, this week through love, and then the next 2 weeks through joy and peace. Today, focusing on love, this is the part of the path we hope to discover, the love path. And there are many forms of love. Perhaps you know that we have one word in English for love, where the Greek language has four words, and we're going to unpack those four words. C.S. Lewis has a book called The Four Loves, and he describes these four loves. The first one he describes is storge, which is affection. Affection is the kind of love we have in relationships where we come together with a familiar bond. It's not necessarily people you've chosen. These are folks you kind of get thrown into this world together with. You share a common story, a common goal, a common allegiance, and it's the kind of love, this affection that comes by being thrown into a certain family or your college roommate, so to speak, or your military shipmates or squadrons or those who were in your platoon with you or those comrades that you're in with clubs or societies. There's that kind of affectionate love from that thrown-in story. And then there's phileo. Phileo, as you probably know, is this deep friendship. Yes, we find our lives joined together in storge, but phileo comes from a desire to actually nurture that commonality, to choose to dedicate our time and our energy and our ongoing narratives with certain people that we are deeply involved in friendships with. There's Eros. Eros is the god of love, and romantic love is primarily what this means. It's the absorption you might have with another person that gets fueled from a passion that comes forth. And it's not just physical attraction, but it mostly begins with physical attraction. It's a big part of it. And then there's agape love. This is what the Bible sometimes refers to in the King James Version as charity. It's an unconditional love. Agape is a love that doesn't matter who the person is or what the person has done. You just keep on loving them regardless of the consequences that come back to you. This agape love is the star of Bethlehem love. It leads us to the brightest love, the love that never gives up, the love that conquers sin and death, a love that surrounds us daily, and a love that fills us eternally. Perfect love, God's love that gets embodied in Jesus of Bethlehem. So let me ask you a few questions this morning. Let me see a show of hands of those of you who have finished Christmas shopping. There's a few of you. Good for you. Let me see those of you who haven't started Christmas shopping. Let me see a show of hands of those of you who are going to move right past that and go to Christmas dinner. That's what Mark's plan is. You may know that Americans will spend a lot of money on Christmas, and retail sales from November through January are projected to be $682 billion this year. That's up 4% from last year, by the way. That is a mind-blowing number. But I'm going to give you another mind-blowing number. $60 billion. $60 billion. That is how much money we Americans spent on our pets last year. $60 billion. Which leaves me to ask the question, why? I am a good example of this. We had a silent auction on Friday. And above all the things I could have bid on, this is Grande's Christmas present. This includes a sweet treat jar, two or three toys, a nice bed that he'll lay on, a frisbee, a ball. It's just, so yes, I'm one of these crazy Americans who spends money on my pets. They're a lot of trouble, these animals we have. We clean up after them. We walk them. Does anybody else here who have a dog that refuses to poop in snow? So they leave these treasures around the house, not to mention the litter box for the cats. We have three furry creatures at our house. That means I vacuum up a lot of hair. And I couldn't come here today wearing my black without that roller brush to get it off. We spent, I added it up, over $2,000 last year alone on medications and checkups for our animals. We give our eldest kitty, Smokey, who has asthma, an inhaler treatment. Have you ever tried giving an inhaler treatment to a cat? We apologize to our neighbors for the gifts they leave in their neighbors' yards or for the hole they dug under their fence. I want you to really think about this. Our pets should be paying us. But we love them. We love them, and we spend our hard-earned money and our time caring for them. It is not because of anything they've really done for us. We simply love them. Okay, I admit this is not an exact comparison. Please don't leave here telling people that I told you that God loves us like we are God's dogs. But the example does start us down the path of recognizing something about agape love. Now let me ask you a couple of other questions. Do you truly understand how deeply God loves you? Do you feel like you have to earn this love? Do you ever wonder if God's love is not actually meant for you? Do you see an overflow of God's love in your life? So here are some things the Bible tells us about God. That God entered the world with his Son, yes, but first of all, God's love was present from the creation of the world. I know we sing this carol sometimes in church, Love Came Down at Christmas, we sing. And we're talking about God entering the world as a baby, and that's all true. But there's a longer view that we must be able to see that goes to the beginning of the world. The history told to us in our Bible is a love story from the beginning of creation. It's the story of God's love for God's people and God's plan of redemption to bring us back into relationship to him. Listen to Ephesians 1. Before the world was created, God had Christ choose to live with him and to be his holy and innocent and loving people. God was kind and decided that Christ would choose to be God's own adopted children. God was very kind to us because of the Son he dearly loves. And so we should praise God. So God is not some distant uncle that suddenly shows up with a gift that nobody thinks they really want. God is not cold and miserly or a distant figure that it begrudgingly offers us some occasional token. God crashed into Bethlehem at Christmas, yes, but Jesus' birth was in a long, continual history of love that anyone here who's taken the disciple Bible study in the recent months who've been taking disciple, you've been learning about that long, long history of God's love. You can read that in the pages of Scripture. The second thing God's love tells us is God's love doesn't depend on us. We do not have to earn it. We don't have to perform to get it, nor do we have to maintain it by anything we do. Someone very close to me this week experienced a real heartbreak. She's been going through a really difficult time over the past few months. And she had an important deadline that she did not make. She called me in tears. She had had a couple of panic attacks, and she was devastated. She was devastated because she felt like she let a bunch of people down, but worse, she felt like she let herself down. I kept telling her that she could never disappoint me, and fortunately, I had this amazing testament of love I could share with her, that God's love is something you cannot earn. You don't have to earn it, nor do you have to perform or meet a deadline to keep it. God is love, and it doesn't start with us. It starts with God. Do you ever have a hard time accepting God's love for you? Do you ever doubt that God's love is actually enough for you? To cover the pain and the hurt that is in your heart, to cover the pain, the hurt, the selfishness, and evil, even the evil that seems to be so rampant in our world today? If we're honest, most of us would have to answer yes to that. That we do have questions, and some more of us than others, about God's love. But despite what we may think we know in our minds or believe in our hearts, there is a daily struggle to live into the reality of this love. I mean, it's so different than any of the other loves which we've talked about. It's so vastly different than the lack of love that we receive from other areas, and especially from human experience and our relationships overall. You see, God's love isn't fickle. It's not for today, and then God will take it back tomorrow. It's not like a father or a mother or a spouse or an ex-spouse or a friend or an enemy who let you down or who hurt you, or that person who abused you or twisted the concept into a guise of love that inflicted damage or pain or heartache that is so hard to heal and get through. This can be mined, Bob Glean. But I hope sometime in your Christmas journey, guided by the star this year, you will take time to meditate, to bask in this love. We already heard it read once, but I'll read it again. Ephesians 3. This is Paul's prayer for his people. It's my prayer for us. God is wonderful and glorious. I pray that his Spirit will make you become strong followers and that Christ will live in your hearts because of your faith. Stand firm and deeply rooted in this love. He says, I pray that you and all of God's people will understand what is called wide or long or high or deep. I want you to know about Christ's love. Although it is too wonderful to be measured, then your lives will be filled with this. Think about the Christmas characters. They were not on the most lovable people list. They were bewildered young people, average, humble, an engaged couple, a band of smelly shepherds, a group of foreign mystics who were a little eclectic. You dig deeper behind the bathrobes and the kid animal costumes and the typical Christmas pageant scene, and you get a real picture here. Where would you fit in that Christmas scene on that Bethlehem night so long ago? Where do you find yourself right now in this season of long, dark, cold winter nights? This love is so worth opening up your heart and your mind and your soul to receive so that you can be drawn even deeper to it. You see, God loves you purely and lavishly and wholly. You don't have to earn points to muster it up. It is poured out no matter how unlovable you feel. Deep, wide, high, long. It doesn't change if your feelings change. And even when we feel distant from God, God is still here. The third thing we learn about God, and I think is really important this particular season, is something I need a volunteer for. Yay, come on up. It's like I've been waiting for her to ask me to volunteer for a long time. All right, come on up. How you doing today?
Good.
Excellent. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to fill what's from this pitcher into this bowl, but you can't pour it directly in the bowl. You know how to do this? What do you think you're going to do?
Pour all of this water in the back and then the cup over.
All right, let's see you do it. Let's see you do it. This is looking good. This is looking good. Look at that. Yes, take a bow. Very good. This morning, we need to be ever so aware that God's love basically overflows. It is amazing that this happened. Now, I'm going to ask you some other questions. Are you going to have company this Christmas? Anybody here having company this Christmas? People coming to your house? All right. Are they parents, siblings, aunts, uncles, people like that? Christmas is a wonderful time to be together with these folks. But can I ask you, will you be sick of these relatives by the end of 3 days? Because God's love cannot be contained. It is phenomenal. And it overflows wonderfully, thank the Lord, through our lives. Sometimes that's easy. Sometimes it is the hardest thing in the world. The holidays magnify this truth, at least in our people, because that means that some of the folks that we struggle the most with are the people that we're actually closest to, believe it or not. Oh, we love them in our hearts. We're thankful for them. But they are the people who have the most power to drive us crazy. They point out our weaknesses. They even bring up reminders of our deepest pain. And so we need a lot of this overflowing love. Here is this short scripture from 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves and has been born of God knows God. This is a challenge for all of us, that we know full well that God's penetrating love is changing our hearts, but that it's not just a feeling or emotion we keep inside of us, that is actually an action that overflows for ourselves. Now, the world has a lot of people that can give to this bowl of need for love. But do you see the difference between just throwing it in here and letting that love flow from the deepest, most real, genuine place of agape love in your life? Do you see the miracle that happens that way through Christmas? Will you celebrate Christ's arrival by allowing that love to not only penetrate you and fill you, but overflow? Can you go back to that scripture that we just read? And I'm going to ask us to read this short passage together as we prepare to pray. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. May that be your theme passage this week on our journey. And let us pray together. Holy God, we thank you that in this season of Advent, you invite us to follow the star to you. We thank you that you can help us to experience the depth and the height and the width and the length of your love. Open us in our deepest places. And even peer into those dark spaces of our life that we try to hide away for fear that we might be known or caught, or even that it just is not good enough. Peer into those places with your beautiful love, your lavish love, your agape love, and remake us this Christmas season so that we may live for you, be loved by you, and give love through you. Amen.